Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. You can call me at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text. You can email me dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. It's been a wonderful weekend. We are walking this road together. God abounds everywhere. Miracles, signs, whispers, knocks in the head, they're all there right in front of you. And I know if you just take 1 second of reflection, you will see how something that seemed completely random wasn't random at all. That somehow you just thought, you didn't even think, you just did something. You put something in your purse, that you later gave away to somebody that you just happened to have, quote unquote, or you just happened to run into somebody, or someone just happened to say something to you, happened to wait for an extra 3 minutes at the stoplight. These things happen to us every day. Now, our challenge is to not be looking for them. Not looking under every, oh, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this is what God is saying here. God's saying this over here. Then you're deciding for him. You are simply the receiver of the message. You are simply then the messenger of the message. You are there, the receiver of other people's messages to you. So do you see how that works? It's happening in everybody all at the same time. Multiple times throughout the day, and it is a huge spiritual domino effect. Have you ever seen those dominoes? I used to have them on variety show where someone would spend their time constructing a block, I mean, a literal city block worth of dominoes. And all you had to do was flick the first domino, and it would go through this amazing, they were so fun to view that they were worth putting on a spot on like a big variety show. So these spiritual dominoes happen to us all the time. And the first domino could be starting in China, and the domino won't be done until it's done, until the end of time. So you have no clue why, where, how. Now we can get little snippets of it. We can get little reminders. We can have a glimpse, have the honor of being allowed to say, wow, this is too much. This isn't something that I could ever have planned. And part of what you have to do, like little step by little step, is get into the idea of the commitment of saying, okay, if it doesn't make sense to me, but I feel inspired, I'm going to act. Now, again, that's inspiration. Inspiration usually during prayer or right after prayer, somewhere around there, something that doesn't have a gut, like, oh, don't do that, don't do that. You may have some fear, but oftentimes these inspirations come from a place where you don't feel anything. You just decide to take that rosary that's sitting there on the counter and put it in your pocket. And somehow you're at the store and something just says, give that rosary to somebody, to that person right there, that person. And you just do it. And you don't feel anything. You don't have to make any explanations. You don't have to feel the glow or the beam. You don't have to feel anything. You just, because you don't know why, you're like the old Pony Express person. You don't know everything that's in that bag that you're being asked to carry and deliver. You're just asked to carry and deliver it. And that's just all you do. That's your job here on earth. We need the power of each other. I want to talk to you today. We're going to carry on our theme of exploring depressions, exploring different kinds of depression, but also exploring different things that are just within your grasp, your reach to help balance, counteract, add, be an addition to other treatment, perhaps prevent the devastating effects. Or if you see yourself starting to go down a depressive slide, maybe get some of the little pieces of the puzzle. Everything from seasonal affective disorder and lack of vitamin D, or as we talked last week's different kinds of critical in the mainstream, the Food and Drug Administration studies that are talking down at the very, I mean, that's bare bones. You know, that is like there, it's the recommended doses of certain nutrients and vitamins are so low compared to what we might really need, because so much depends on what's grown, when it's grown, when it's picked, when it's harvested, what it's grown in. Is it GMO? Is it, you know, what kind of fertilizer? So what kind of water? It's all so intricately tied. But even that, down to that bare bones, there are not any airy fairy ads out there. Not to say that, listen, I have a cabinet full of supplements, so I do get, I'm not downing any kind in fact, I have a lot of training in alternative medicine. So the concept, though, is that there's no suspect dog in the hunt. Now, as I said before, perhaps, yes, everybody can be bought off. Everybody can be swayed. Everybody can get an argument that throws them off kilter and they think they're doing a good thing, but they're really helping line someone else's pockets. Of course, that can happen. But we take something like the Food and Drug Administration, who on a good day pretty much underestimates what we all need. And they're saying that huge percentage of us, and I read you the statistics, you can get them by going on breadboxmedia.podbean.com. Huge, and looking at my old podcast over to the side, Dr. Michelle Live, scroll down last week, gave you the percentages of the population of the United States and the deficiency percentage in certain critical, not all nutrients, because we would have, you better believe that if we have them in these nutrients, we're going to have them in others, but of what's considered now critical brain nutrients. And there are some where 80-something, or I think 83% of us are deficient in, I think it was vitamin E, but whatever vitamin it is, that's like the majority of the population. Over 50% of us are abjectly, demonstrably deficient. So that's pretty eye-opening, if nothing else. So we talked about that last week. Well, today I want to talk to you about weaving in, because that's what I like to do, a little bit of the spiritual with the mainstream. Both the, you know, I'll take a little aside to tear my hair out a little bit, because some of the stuff I just, inside, and as I look at things from a bird's eye perspective, and I cannot even begin to imagine from a God's eye perspective what it must look like. But the fact that we take something that is so whole, whole, so whole, and we parse it out in these little tiny, we just like rip off little tiny pieces, and we look at it as if it's the end all be all. Like we have some huge revelation when right there in front of us, throughout spirituality and through looking at anthropologically throughout time, these were just, you didn't have to consider the parts, because when you lived wholly as a whole, including your spirituality, including helping each other, including social interaction, and that does not have to mean your neighborhood, your family, your circle of friends who no longer want you, or your family that might not be there. It means people, social people. So that interaction, it's all part of this big picture. So I want to read to you an article today that I found in the New York Times that is at once very heartening, and it will help any of you who know any soldiers, or who yourself are soldiers, or any of you who have been through trauma, any of you who've been through betrayal, disappointment, shock, who hasn't? Who of you haven't, really? If you're, sure, if you're younger, you may not be aware of it, and you don't necessarily need to be aware of it at this point, but I am pretty positive that you have had a divorce, you've had a betrayal, you've had a parent who left, you've had a child who's died, you've had a child who's been sick, you've had someone who you thought loved you really was taking advantage of you, you have a bad car deal, you had, you know, someone sold you a bill of goods on a house with no and mold or something, you know, just so many things have occurred in your life. Now, that in itself may not, those are the things that we should be resilient toward, or we think we should be resilient toward. Sometimes we have that proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. But here's something I want to tell you that they're doing with soldiers, which is a wonderful thing. And at the same time, it has me kind of tearing my hair out because it sounds like what we have available to us without a big article being read about written about it, which is great. I'm glad they are, just right through the Catholic Church. So we'll talk about those similarities, and I'm very happy. I'm really happy because I do believe that we need to reach as many people as we can to help each other along the way without it being in the name of a religion, because we need to help all the broken people. We need to be there for all the broken people. It's a very important. We are the broken people. I am the broken person. So, yes, anything that we can do. But I want to take it and look at it and in its beauty in one way and its beauty in the other way. So we're going to look at it clockwise and counterclockwise on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me on this road of life. Our job is to get to the other side and to get to it in the crazy, messed up, full of redemption, full of transformation, full of adventure, full of down in the dumps, face down in the dirt, breathing mud, to our faces up, looking and basking in the light of God. This is our mission. This is our mission. Should we choose to accept it? Oftentimes, we don't know how to accept it. We don't even know it's our mission. We just think, okay, well, all right, God. And that joke is like so painfully real to me of the guy who's stuck up on the roof of the top praying to God, please save me, please save me. And here comes the, you know, the guy in the boat, and he goes, no, you know, he somehow doesn't get in the boat, and there's a lifesaver floats by, and there's this, and then there's a, you know, a scuba diver comes up from the depths and says, come with me. And then the helicopter comes by, and then he's praying, saying, you know, why aren't you saving me? And God looks down and says, well, I sent you a helicopter and a boat and a scuba diver, you know, what else do you want? And sometimes we just keep batting away the things that God sends us. I'm saying this because I do it. I do it all the time. And I don't, because I don't get it. I don't see it as a gift. I don't know what I'm expecting, a bow, you know, a big bow on it. I'm recalling a situation that I had a long time ago with someone who had very severe trauma in their life and was really, really having a very difficult time, and had looked in the Bible for anything in their lives that would point them in the direction of redemption for what they had been through. They couldn't find it. And so at one point, at a particularly off a bad time, I said, well, do you have any religious belief? Do you have any faith belief? And they said, well, yes, I do. And I said, well, what have you done in that? You know, how is that? Tell me more about it. And then they really didn't say much, or, you know, they said they didn't understand things. I said, well, it's not like someone's going to, I said, it's not like God's going to pick up a phone and call you. And he said, I think he just did. And what the person meant by that was that it wasn't so apparent to me, and it wasn't apparent to the person, that that whole conversation was an inspired conversation on both parts. And that somehow a little light bulb, it just made me laugh, but a little light bulb went off in the person's head, because they said, I think he just did. I think God just picked up the phone. And what he was saying is, yeah, you just called me and you're saying this to me now. God just picked up the phone. But we don't think of it in those terms. It never would have dawned on me in a million years. Oh, God told me to call this person and tell them this. Never. How would I know that that would come up in the conversation, as almost trying to lighten it up a little bit, but also try to kind of spur them on? But that's how God does work, but we just can't get it. So I wanted to talk to you about this New York Times article, War Wounds that Time Alone Can't Heal. And before I do that, it's going to bring us into what is considered a new thought, but it is not new. But I certainly give a lot of accolades and a lot of honor to the people that are putting this together for the mass consumption and in the mainstream, and also trying to get it through to it so that it becomes invaluable and an integral part in treating people who have had trauma in their lives. And again, not just the trauma that we think of going to war, but this is true for everything. So we're going to look at that. But I want to also bring your attention to the Canticle of Zechariah. I also want to bring your attention to the third step prayer from the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book. If you all know that, you know, as a psychiatrist, we not only study alcoholism and drug addiction and all different kinds of addiction, food addiction, sex addiction, unhealthy belief, addiction, anything that can become a way of running from yourself and be self-destructive. Porn addiction, shopping addiction, we can just name them all. I've done a couple of podcasts about addiction, but as a standalone, you can check that out in the archives by going to dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Actually, that's my email, so I'll just get me the email. So if you want to email me, you can, and I'll tell you how to get there. But it's by going to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. And then scrolling down the side to see my name, clicking on it, you should be able to get some archives. Hopefully they're still there. We do have glitches that come around now and then. So sometimes the glitches happen before I have a chance to know that they happen. So when we study these things, and as they've been more sanitized to be more ready for mass consumption, especially in our politically correct world, a lot of the prayer part is taken out or minimized or sanitized, or it's enough to make it vague enough that it could be hope, it could be prayer, it could be. But the person who founded AA founded it on God, founded on the power of prayer, on surrendering yourself to something bigger than you, something, it could be the God of your choice, as they said, to include so many people. Because, you know, the most important thing is to get people back to that relationship with their creator and back to them being functional human beings, so they live long enough to be able to do that, and so that they aren't just swirling downward in their addictions. So in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is a third step prayer. And I want to read that to you because it's going to prelude a lot of the things I talk about. And it goes into what I was just talking about in the beginning of the first segment about listening to God, but without actually, you know, saying, okay, God, I'm here to listen to you now. What? I can't hear you. Let me think. Well, I think what you're saying to me is this. I will do it this way. Well, that's not listening to God. I don't, maybe there's a way that that can be listening to God, but what I'm talking about is when you're not looking for it, when you're not the one that's putting the spin on it. And you may do it out of the best intentions, but just because you're human means that you can't get why God is doing it. What if God wants you to pick up that piece of paper and put it over somewhere else because, or give it to the person who dropped it, because you're going to look at that person in the eyes. That's going to somehow spur them to think about eye contact, which goes, they go home and they think, they look at their four-year-old child who's been diagnosed with autism and realize they have no eye contact or hasn't been diagnosed yet. And you know, who, you have no idea why you are the cog in the wheel. You have no idea, no idea. Just like the hinge on the door of the plane has no idea that it needs to be a good hinge on the door of the plane, because no matter who put that plane together and how much we can run without having a, we can be in a drone, how space age it is, if that door hinge doesn't work, then that plane doesn't fly. It just doesn't. And or and everyone in it gets sucked out into the atmosphere. So we are those little hinges. So here is the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. So here we go. It's please take away my difficulties so that the victory over them. So in other words, as I overcome my victory, I'm just bearing witness. I am the hinge. I am bearing witness to those I would help. And I'm bearing it, telling them of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, because of myself I can do nothing. So you see how this all turns around? Well, we're going to get into that article when we come back from the other side of the break. We're also going to get in the Canticle of Zechariah, talk a little bit about your particular issues when we come back from the break. But let me give you a little, just a little bit of the Canticle of Zechariah before I do. It's from Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 68 through 79, but I'm only going to give you a little part to take us into the break. It's way at the end. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Think about that. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. So right there, God, tender compassion, his light will break upon us and shine as we dwell in the darkness. In the darkness implies we don't really see a clear way, and in the shadow of death. And he will guide our feet into the way of peace if we but just walk. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this thing that we can incorporate in our own life. A new terminology, but an old concept. See you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Oh, welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you are listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can text, you can call, you can write, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. So if you know someone who is a veteran of the furthest back war that you can imagine, I know people still around. There's lots of people still around from World War II, and some of them that I've worked with 10 years ago who were in their 80s then never even understood they had post-traumatic stress disorder all those years after World War II. Never even had clue one, because they just kept living their life in their closed up way. Didn't think there was a problem, didn't know there was a problem. And everyone around them had the same problem, but they didn't let it out either. So everyone's walking around thinking that they're just weak, or they have some kind of, there's something wrong with them. Well, yeah, there's something wrong, but not wrong with them. They are experiencing things that can be alleviated, that are keeping them being less than. But in the same time, they're developing a God's amazing, because they develop other things that are more than. So from great tragedy, from great pain, from great sorrow, comes great people, comes great stamina and health. Some of these people, you cannot really, they're beyond that old commercial, the Energizer Bunny. You just can't get them down. You cannot get them down. Talked about that last week after Memorial Day. It's true. So first, let's go with a quote from Father Thomas Keating. Psychotherapy is what God has been doing secretly for centuries by other names. That is, he searches through our personal history and heals what needs to be healed, the wounds of childhood on our own, or our own self-inflicted wounds. So I want to keep that in mind, because this is just kind of taking out parts of what God does naturally for us, but you know, we really just can't do it ourselves. So we have to remember that oftentimes we just can't do it ourselves. And we're in the place that we're at. Hopefully we'll all lead to whatever the staircase is, whichever century we live in, whatever millennia we live in, there's going to be different ways. You know how you've been in those old houses where you walk in the living room and there's a staircase that goes upstairs. You go into the kitchen, there's a staircase that goes upstairs. You go in from another room, they all meet. Maybe even three different rooms will meet with a couple of stairs up to a certain landing, and then there's one staircase that goes upstairs. So whichever staircase we get to, that's the one we need to start looking at. And if we start with psychotherapy, we start with psychotherapy. It's not an either or. So I'm always trying to drive that home. It's not an either or. You don't have to go on the spiritual and get rid of all your medications and get rid of all your psychotherapists. And, you know, some people avoid it because they're not Catholic, or they're Christian, or they are Catholic. So they avoid it because a lot of people think Catholics are weird. Well, Catholics are weird, but that's okay. I'm weird, you know. I hope you're weird too, because anything else would be completely boring. All right, so Father Thomas Keating says psychotherapy is what God has been doing secretly for centuries by other names. That is, he searches through our personal history and heals what needs to be healed, the wounds of childhood or our own self-inflicted wounds. Now, I'll add in there, because Father Keating actually is very big in what I'm going to tell you about. He's actually, I think he's heading up a faction of it. I'll have to look at that, and we'll talk about that tomorrow probably, or maybe in the other segment. But so Father Thomas Keating is a very prolific writer. He's a very prominent person in helping people. All right. So I also want to get to from a website called Real Warriors, Real Battles, Real Strength. So that's something for everybody. I mean, I get stuff from this. I don't have to have been fighting combat, because we all fight combat to a certain more or less extent. My daughter-in-law right now is fighting a very difficult and tragic situation. And so prayers for her, please. You know, we all fight our combats, and we all think, okay, all right, so I just got done with that one, so I should be able to walk a few steps, right? No, boom, you get smacked down again. Okay, how about in a few more steps? No, boom, you get smacked down again. Or you witness something you just happened to be what they say is the wrong place at the wrong time, but you witnessed something that you just stood there and stared, and later you go, my gosh, why didn't I do something? Or as you get older, you've done things in your past you cannot get rid of, you cannot undo. And as you're older and you start, your perspectives change and you realize, my gosh, that was what held me back then and what caused me to act in a certain way then. I was talking about Elie Wiesel, and we lost our signal again. Something is going on there in that part of the world where that happened last week as well. So here we are again. Now, I don't know where we stopped, but I will say the quote one more time. Elie Wiesel said, "Time does not heal all wounds. It just buries them in very shallow graves." And that's what happens. We tend to think, well, time heals all wounds, so what's wrong with me that I'm not healed? Or you think you're healed, and you go off to the mall, and you're at the Gap, or you're at Banana Republic, and there's some mannequin in a blue blazer and a little military-looking beret and a little khaki-colored, let's say it's a little purse slung over the shoulder for a woman, or maybe a guy has a certain color pants or whatever the mannequin is at the time, and boom, all of a sudden, you're just wounded. And you don't even understand why, and you're so used to pushing it off and going somewhere else in your head that you don't even hardly notice. Your heart's racing, your stomach tightens up, or your throat. I heard a beautiful woman this morning talking on a TED Talk about the stone, the little stone in her throat that caused her not to be able to speak. And that's that familiar feeling in the throat. So time does not heal all wounds. It does just bury them in very shallow graves. So what do we do about it? Well, I wanted to tell you about this article in the New York Times. I'm also going to talk to you a little bit from the website I just told you about before we lost contact. So this article is from Jane Brody, who writes on health and aging in it for the New York Times in their section called, well, this is personal health. It's called War Wounds That Time Alone Can't Heal. And it's from today's New York Times online. It says, no doubt, and they're actually showcasing a film, Almost Sunrise. So they're showcasing a film, and I don't know anything about the film. I haven't looked at it myself, but they're showcasing this, and I'm glad they did it. It gives your idea of, you'll see where I'm getting to in just a couple minutes as well. It says, no doubt in the course of your life, you did something or failed to do something that left you feeling guilty or ashamed. What if that something was in such violation of your moral compass that you felt unable to forgive yourself, undeserving of happiness, perhaps even unfit to live? Now, just that paragraph there, because we probably have to finish this on the other side of the break, does that sound Catholic to you or what? I mean, yeah. Don't we say that? Forgive me for what I've done and what I have failed to do. Don't we talk about the guilt and the shame? Don't we confess that all the time? And aren't we always addressing and talking about and thinking about the inability to forgive yourself even after confession or before confession? So it says again, before the break, no doubt in the course of your life, you did something or failed to do something that left you feeling guilty or ashamed. What if that something was in such violation of your moral compass that you felt unable to forgive yourself, undeserving of happiness, or perhaps even unfit to live? And as you ponder those questions, we're going to answer that on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You're walking with me on this road. I'm reading an article to you. Oh, my phone number, 573-4BREAD-4. You can call right now, give some input, some suggestions, some thoughts, some experiences, some inspiration, some questions. You can also text 573-4BREAD-4, or you can write DM live anytime at breadboxmedia.com. And that was not that's not how you get to me. It's DM live at breadboxmedia.com. I interrupted my email address. All right. So I'm reading this article to you from the New York Times, and I want to get to, and if we don't do it today, we will get to it tomorrow, some information about what they're talking about, some more in-depth information from real warriors, real battles, real strength. This is a really great outreach military crisis line. It's good. It's for the people, veterans, the families, health professionals, active duties. They're looking at evidence-based stuff. It's just a really pretty profound, in-depth resource. So I was reading to you from Jane Brody, who wrote an article for the New York Times this morning, and that I thought is just a wonderful adjunct into what we've been talking about with depression. So we're going to look at that. All right. So I'll read the first one again so you had time to ponder it. No doubt in the course of your life, you did something or failed to do something that left you feeling guilty or ashamed. What if that something was in such violation of your moral compass that you felt unable to forgive yourself, undeserving of happiness, perhaps even unfit to live? Now they're talking about soldiers here because they're showcasing the video that on YouTube, I guess, and was at this Human Rights Film Festival. It says, that is the fate of an untold number of servicemen and women who lived in Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, and other wars. And I want you now to put yourself in there too, whether you're part of the military or not. Or, of course, if you are, or someone you know is, this is written specifically with you in mind. Many participated in, witnessed, or when it were unable to help in the face of atrocity, from failing to aid an injured person to killing a child by accident or in self-defense. Now, I want any of you who are listening to this who, let's say, have had an abortion or whose child died because of some action that they did, because I've known many of you, that's the whole, it's by accident or in self-defense. And when you are scared, alone, a million things in your mind, maybe you're terribly codependent, maybe you're a victim of your own personal trauma or sexual assault anyway, not just for the pregnancy, but in life, or you had some huge betrayal, or for whatever reason, completely misguided, and now you see better, or you see something different, and you're still haunted, that in an odd way is a self-defensive action then. We're talking about forgiveness, because that's some of the things that people are very unable to forgive themselves about. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up. Okay, for some veterans, this leaves emotional wounds that time refuses to heal. It radically changes them and how they deal with the world. It has a name, moral injury. Unlike a better-known casualty of war, post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, moral injury is not yet a recognized psychiatric diagnosis, although the harm it inflicts is as bad, if not worse. The problem is highlighted in a new documentary called Almost Sunrise, which will be shown next week at the Human Rights Watch Film Festival in New York, and on June 23rd and 24th at AFI Docs in Washington, D.C. The film depicts the emotional agony and self-destructive aftermath of moral injury and follows two sufferers along a path that alleviates their psychic distress and hopes for eventual recovery. Now, I'm going to break for a second and tell you, again, for me, looking at this as a doctor, looking at this as a doctor who's dealt with soldiers, looking at this as a doctor who's dealt with post-traumatic stress disorder, as even when I was in general practice, for people from all different reasons and sources, and also from someone who is on a very strong religious quest and sometimes off the religious quest. I don't like to think that it's either or. But again, we do what we live with what we got. We go with what we have. If it has to be a disorder that is, because to me, every single person I've ever seen with post-traumatic stress disorder has a moral injury in there somewhere too. They really do. So, all right. The new documentary follows Tom Voss and Anthony Anderson, two troubled Iraq war veterans. All right. So then it says, therapists both within and outside the Department of Veteran Affairs increasingly recognize moral injury as the reason so many returning vets are self-destructive and are not helped or only partly helped by established treatments for PTSD. Now, if you're from Vietnam era, you already know they didn't even have the term PTSD. That was you guys and you women that the term kind of was eventually evolved. But again, well, I'm not going to pick this is telling us something very important that will help all of us. Moral injury is some of the symptoms of PTSD, especially anger, depression, anxiety, nightmares, insomnia, self-medication with drugs or alcohol, and it may benefit from some of the same treatments. But moral injury has an added burden of guilt, grief, shame, regret, sorrow, and alienation that requires a very different approach to reach the core of a sufferer's psyche. Unlike the soldiers who were drafted to serve in Vietnam, the members of the armed forces today chose to enlist. Those deployed to Iraq thought at first they were fighting to bring democracy to the country. Then they were told later it was to win hearts and minds. But to many of those in battle, the real effect was to terrorize, as one veteran says in the film. That's not what we signed up for. Now, I'm not giving any kind of judgment here. I just want to bring to your idea this thought of moral injury. Father Thomas Keating, a founding member of Contemplative Outreach, says in the film, antidepressants don't reach the depth of what these men are feeling, and women too, that they did something terribly wrong and don't know if they can be forgiven. The first challenge, though, is to get emotionally damaged veterans to acknowledge their hidden agony and seek professional help instead of trying to suppress it, often engaging in self-destructive behaviors. All right, so I'm going to run out of time here, so let me wrap this into why I'm bringing this to you today. As they go on further down in the article, they say, quote, this is from Dr. Litz from Boston. It says they are testing a related therapeutic approach called adaptive disclosure, a technique akin to confession. With eyes closed, the vets are asked to verbally share vivid details of their trauma with an imagined compassionate person. We Catholics tend to call that God, who loves them, then imagines how that person would respond. But I think that's beautiful because it will connect. God doesn't care what staircase you take. If how you get to him, he is a loving God who wants you. He wants these soldiers. He wants you who've committed the unforgivable in your own minds. But they said sharing, disclosing, confessing is fundamental to repair, says Dr. Litz. In doing so, they learn what happened to them can be tolerated and they're not rejected. So the goal is to find forgiveness within themselves or from others. So I want to reiterate, we're going to go into a lot more of what that means in the long run and for you and in depression and weaving in the spirituality that we talk about as well. These people don't have to be, this may be the road that leads them to their own inner spirituality, their reliance on as the biblical quotes say that, as I read to you from the Canticle of Zechariah, the tender compassion of our God that will break the dawn upon us as we are in our darkness. So we have this beautiful richness that comes from inside. And yes, this might be a different way to get to it, but how beautiful is that, that the world is somehow putting these pieces together and that there is more help for these veterans. So I'm going to get more into that tomorrow, but also for you. As I've always said, these things, something for the alcoholic, something for the soldier who was in war and has PTSD, something for the cancer survivor. What do we all have in common here? A lot. We have a lot. You don't This is all healing. It's just like vitamin C is healing for everyone, whether you've been on a ship for sailing the sea in the 1700s and you have scurvy, or whether you have extra needs because you're so stressed out because your mortgage is getting foreclosed on. Vitamin C is good for everybody. So it's the same thing. This kind of way, no matter how we come to it, no matter if we're eating limes out of a barrel or we're getting it from CVS pharmacies, it's important for us. Same with forgiveness. Same with our relationship with God. And this idea of moral injury, I say I really applaud it. It's a beautiful concept because it's a way to me, it's all part of PTSD. One of the soldiers that I work with said, there ain't no pill in the world that's ever going to take this pain away. There ain't no therapy in this world that's ever going to take this pain away. And in a way, they are still engaging in the therapy and in medication if it's needed. But what they're saying is there's something lacking in this darkness. The dawn hasn't broken yet. And at least here, and Father Thomas Keating is assisting in this road of this moral injury, the fact that there is no, that it isn't to be just swept under the rug, that, oh, you shouldn't feel an injury. So all you women out there, all you men out there, all those people who thought about being happy and got divorced and ran off with somebody else, whatever it is that you're pained about now, understand some of that is a moral injury and it is open and it's necessary to find that forgiveness. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. I am Dr. Michelle. We will see you tomorrow.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.